Good Thursday afternoon. Welcome in to Sports 180. Thank you for being with us today. We are excited to be with you for the next 3 hours on this beautiful day here in East Tennessee. We will have updates for you all afternoon long with the Masters underway, day one. Heather, I know this is a very exciting day for you, being the golf fan and Masters fan that you are.
Yeah, you absolutely believe that. I am so pumped. Had the TV on earlier this morning, getting that golf channel live from Augusta feel going on, and watching it rain here, but watching everything on television today. And I'm kind of glad right now I didn't go with Dustin Johnson because he's one over through five, but I'm sure there are many more birdies in his future for this tournament.
I would think so, but this is probably not going to be as easy for him or anyone else as it was back in the fall. We will have updates. Jesse Smith is going to stop by. We'll get some of his thoughts on the Masters coming up at 12:30. John Wilkerson from 1:30 until 2 as he joins us for 30 minutes every Thursday afternoon. And then Alan Bell at 2:30 from Sportsline.com. We have a lot to dive into, and we will have updates on what's going on in Augusta all afternoon long as Sports Talk will. We'll talk some Tennessee football, some Tennessee basketball along the way, and invite you to join us, 656-9900, here on Sports 180 as we begin today's show taking a look around the sports world. Heather, the leader at the Masters is Hideki Matsuyama. He's 3-under through 8. You have Siwoo Kim, who is 2-under through 10. Corey Connors, 2-under through 10. I picked John Rahm to win. He's off to a fine start. Yep. He's 1-under through 4. Patrick Reed, there's a notable name, 1-under through 4. Same for Paul Casey. So some names to pay attention to there. You mentioned Dustin Johnson, not the start that he wanted, but others, Rory McIlroy, he's even through 4. Webb Simpson, even through 6. Victor Hovland, I think he had a really bad start and then has rebounded. He's even through 7. And Matthew Wolf, there's another name you mentioned yesterday, even through 8. So still very early, of course. Brooks Koepka is one over. Dustin Johnson and Daniel Berger, notable names, one over as well.
Yep, yep, along with Bubba Watson, who's one over through 7. So interesting start to this tournament, and I know we're going to talk about it later, but what's going to be that magic number? You know, what you saw Dustin Johnson set a course record and beat Tiger's previous course record by 2 strokes, beat out Justin Spieth from a few years ago. And so it's like, okay, 20 under won it in the fall. What's going to win it this go round early on in 2021? So lots to talk about and try and figure out what that magic number is going to be.
Heather, Tennessee announced it is planning an open practice for the fans on Saturday. We heard earlier in the week that could be a possibility, and Tennessee announced that. So it'll be 10 o'clock on Saturday at Neyland Stadium. Gate 21 will open for fans at 9:15. We should note that weather pending here, if they have inclement weather and have to move the practice to the indoor facility, there will not be an open practice for fans. So keep that in mind and pay attention to the forecast, as I think it's potentially dicey on Saturday. But Tennessee planning to open it up for the fans, saying, we heard you. So 2 weeks before the orange and white game, a chance to get a sneak peek at the Vols.
I love this. And just think about all that we talked about yesterday, some of the thinner positions, some of the more exciting and optimistic positions on this team. And of course, get a live look at some quarterback action, which I know everybody is dying to see what Hendon Hooker looks like, what Harrison Bailey looks like, what Brian Maurer looks like, who said he's, you know, 100% healthy for the first time ever in his tenure at Tennessee. So a lot to look forward to, and just commend Josh Heupel for doing this. I think it's awesome. I think he is definitely establishing a more fun and harmonious fan-friendly environment, and I say bring it on, because that's going to pay dividends in the long run, in my opinion.
Right. This will not be the first time that football has been seen, so I don't think that all of Tennessee's secrets will be given away by allowing fans, so I think a good move as well. I'd like to see more of it. Auburn did it a couple of weeks ago, and the world didn't stop, which was really cool to see. In the NBA, the Suns beat the Jazz last night in overtime. Big one there in the Western Conference. Kevin Durant returned for the Nets. Good for them, because if they're going to win a title, they're obviously going to have their big boys. And Kevin Durant came back impressively. 17 points. He was 5 of 5 from the field in 19 minutes. I would imagine they're still going to be careful with him through the rest of the regular season and manage his minutes and how much he plays. giving him some nights off to make sure that Durant is good to go, because he missed all of last season after the torn Achilles. He's dealt with multiple injuries. He's had the hamstring strain. And you just, if you don't have Kevin Durant, you're not going to win the title, as impressive as Harden and Kyrie Irving have been.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And that's why they've got to bring him back, so that he's not rusty when it gets to the playoffs, and he's not, you know, working out of that, and he's in shape and everything. But they also don't want to put too much on him, because the Nets have been just fine up to this point without Kevin Durant, and being their, what, second right now in the standings in the East. So it's, you know, they're definitely going to walk that fine line of getting him work to get him prepared for the postseason, but also making sure that he has enough time to recover and he's not straining at any point in time during the regular season.
College basketball news. Vanderbilt landed two, if you look at the composite rankings, four-star basketball prospects for 2022. So this is next year in the signing class, not this upcoming season when they'll be on the court. They're high school juniors, but talented prospects in the 2022 class. And then Memphis is getting a transfer. Earl Timberlake, who was a top 35 player in last year's class, went to Miami, dealt with some injury issues, had considered being a one-and-done to the NBA. Instead, he's going to transfer to Memphis. So again, with the assumption that one-time transfer allowance will be in place, Tennessee will see Earl Timberlake for Memphis next year.
Yeah, averaged 9 points this past season, 5 rebounds, 2.5 assists on 44% shooting for the Miami Hurricanes, but only played in 7 games. So you see that he's, when he's available, this is going to be a guy that's really dynamic, very athletic out there on the wing, but also, you know, has maybe some injury questions, and hopefully he's getting healthy this off season. But adding a player like this and looking at what Tennessee was able to add in their commitment yesterday, and knowing who else is coming in, just that Memphis game is already the highlight, or one of the highlights of the season, knowing that it's back on the schedule. So it's like, bring it on. This is awesome.
Joel, do you get into the Frozen Four? The Frozen Four begins tonight in Pittsburgh, as you have some, I think, some heavyweights in there. But the Frozen Four tonight in Pittsburgh, do you get into it?
Yeah, I try to a little bit. I'm a little more excited about it this year because St. Cloud State is actually where Knoxville Ice Bear forward Jacob Benson went to school. So he was the only Ice Bear whose alma mater made it to the NCAA tournament. And he was telling me before the tournament, yeah, we actually went 3 years that I was there, but we never made it to the Frozen Four. So he was very excited that his Huskies are able to make it this far. Three of the four teams are from the state of Minnesota. So I've been able to watch a little bit of it. There was a 5-overtime game when number one seed North Dakota got upset earlier. So there's been some fun hockey games. So I do try to keep up with it when I can. Don't follow college hockey nearly as closely as I follow college basketball, though.
Yeah, 5 o'clock ESPN2, you have Minnesota State versus St. Cloud State. 9 p.m., Minnesota Duluth versus Massachusetts. That's on ESPN2 as well. So the Frozen Four is here. Very exciting. And Minnesota Duluth, Minnesota State, and St. Cloud State, they play at the D2 level in every other sport. So big opportunity there, of course, in hockey.
Are the surrounding states just furious like we are in football that the state of Minnesota has a lockdown on the majority of teams playing in the Frozen Four? Like how we get mad at Alabama and Clemson just having their reserve spots in the playoff in college football. Is Wisconsin and Michigan looking over at Minnesota like, hey, come on, guys, share the love. What's going on here?
In Michigan and Minnesota definitely dominate college hockey.
Yeah, Minnesota Duluth, 8 Frozen Four appearances now. So looking for hockey, you'll get some competitive hockey in the Frozen Four coming up this evening on ESPN2. Continuing to look around the sports world, not good news here with the Patriots, although not probably surprising. Julian Edelman unlikely to play all of 2021, according to a report, because of some chronic knee issues he's dealing with as Patriots are trying to figure out what's next with that offense and maybe at the quarterback position. And then a story that is very cool. It went viral here over the last 24 to 48 hours. Shaquille O'Neal in a jewelry store, Heather, and Shaq talked about it last night on TNT. He randomly paid for a guy's engagement ring. The guy was trying to figure out kind of a payment plan, like I can come back maybe next week and put down a payment, as Shaq was describing it. So he pulled out his card and said, I'll pay for it. And there have been stories over time about Shaq doing this. I think he does it quite frequently. It just doesn't always go public. There was one where he was at a Best Buy, I think, and he made some purchases for people with computers, whatever they were buying at the time. And he said, yeah, I try to do this from time to time to make people smile. Just not looking for it to get out. So sometimes it will, and we talked about Shaq. Sometimes I'm not all the way there with his basketball coverage. I love Shaq though, and this is a big reason why.
Yeah, sometimes the basketball knowledge is a little old school, but the personality is what makes Shaq so special and what separates him from so many of his peers, and just the overall charisma that he has. I loved seeing the video of this. I thought it was just so special because you could tell the guy was totally caught off guard, that Shaq just handed the salesman his credit card and he was like, I'll pay for it. And I mean, the guy's face was just like unbelief. You know, he was like, this is really happening to me. So I thought that was super special. I love hearing stories about this. You always hear it at like the holidays too, when Secret Santas will go in and pay off different retailers' layaway programs, just buy all the gifts that are on people's layaway lists or something. And we need more of this. It was just awesome.
Yeah, there is so much more of this happening than people will ever realize with superstar athletes, or I'm sure actors, celebrities that have a public profile, but they keep it very private. And that's why a lot of times I'm not saying all athletes are perfect. I'm not saying Shaq's not perfect by any means, but there's so much good that is done, and they try to keep it private. But I think people would be amazed at stories like this. There are a lot of them like that.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And I love people that do good works behind cameras. They don't search out the cameras. We have known people that, and that's fine. If you want to do your good works and publicize it, that is your business, because you're still doing some great things in the community. But there are a lot of people that don't do it for any sort of notoriety. Shaq just did it because he could, out of the goodness of his heart, and I think that's awesome.
I totally agree. That is our look around the sports world with a lot of the focus on what's going on at Augusta today. We will talk to Jesse Smithy about that in 15 minutes. We'll get you some score updates when we come back. An updated mock draft from ESPN where Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer fall in. Two Tennessee Vols headed to the NBA draft. We'll have that for you coming up. 656-9900 to join us on 99.1, the sports animal. This is Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. With Heather Harrington, I'm Josh Ward. Joel Silverberg is with us. A mock draft update from ESPN. Players still have announcements to make, but you have an idea of who's going. And we found out yesterday Keon Johnson is headed to the NBA. We'll get that for you coming up in just a moment. The Masters is underway. Everybody has not teed off yet, but half the field or so, Heather, is out there. Hideki Matsuyama is your leader to this point. He's 3-under with a couple of players at 2-under. Let's see, Corey Connors, he has bogeyed, as has Siwoo Kim. So they're back at 1-under. Cameron Champ is 1-under. Webb Simpson, 1-under. John Rahm, who I know everybody's pulling for. There's the baby boost. He's 1-under through 5. Patrick Reed, 1-under. I know nobody's pulling for him. He's 1-under through 4. So
Who is more hated, Patrick Reed or Bryson DeChambeau? It's really hard to say.
I still think it's Bryson. I was talking to a friend yesterday about Bryson. And yeah, I think kind of in the casual golf fan, and he's like, what's the guy's name, the hat? I said Bryson DeChambeau, and he goes, yeah, I hate that guy. So I don't think that I know any Bryson fans.
Yeah.
I think there are some people that maybe they don't care that much either way. They just love that he's different. But I don't think I know a Bryson fan, so I'm a pretend Bryson fan.
Yeah, I don't think I know one either. One of my biggest things about Bryson, he just has a weird kind of quirky personality. I think his personality is what really drives him to be unlikable. That, and he's so hyper-focused on golf and just, you know, being the best. So I think that just annoys people more than it probably should. But with Patrick Reed, I mean, this guy's a cheater. He is a documented cheater. Like, he should for sure be the villain number one on the PGA Tour, in my opinion.
Maybe so. How about Carlos Ortiz? He jumps up. He's 4-under now at the Masters. Hideki Matsuyama, Kevin Kisner, and then I'll attempt it. Christian Bezuidenhout is there as well, near the top of the leaderboard, 2-under. Not necessarily pulling for him, because the less I have to say his name, probably the better for me and everybody listening. So we'll get you some more score updates with what's going on with the Masters all afternoon long. Matthew Wolf at 1-over, Dustin Johnson 1-over, Rory McIlroy 1-over, Daniel Berger 1-over. Some of the top picks probably going in, struggling a little bit early on. Heather, I saw a mock draft come out from ESPN earlier today. It's actually at ESPN Plus, so if you want to check it out there, you need an ESPN Plus subscription. But their projected number one pick is the same guy it's been all season long. That is, or all year long, Cade Cunningham from Oklahoma State, Evan Mobley from USC, and then Jalen Suggs, who was a terrific player all year long, and the more people learned about him probably with his game-winning shot in the Final Four for the Zags. Jalen Green, who spent this past year in the with G League Ignite, and then Jonathan Kuminga from G League Ignite also at number five. And then at number six in the ESPN mock draft, Keon Johnson from Tennessee.
Yeah, when you look at these mock drafts, I pulled up five different ones. So you got The Athletic, who's got Keon at 10, ESPN now that has Keon at 6, Yahoo has him at 8, NBADraft.net has him at 8, and NBC Sports has him at 9. So his average comes out to a little bit lower than where ESPN has him ranked, and the average is being in the 8th spot. So I wonder, you know, this is definitely the highest out of all of the draft projections, so I'm sure Keon likes this one the most. But I do wonder how high he's going to be able to climb and you know, just where he truly is going to fall. I don't know if he can climb up to the number six spot, but I also don't think he drops below the number eight or nine spot. So, I mean, that's really kind of his sweet spot right in there between six and eight.
Yeah, he's just ahead in this mock draft from ESPN of Davion Mitchell from Baylor. And then, like, just to give you a sense of where things are, this is not considered a super deep draft in terms of elite talent, but Jalen Johnson, who opted out at Duke, and you know, there was some, I don't know, controversy, just people didn't like it, of course, but he didn't have a great year by any means. He's number eight in this mock draft. Now, keep scrolling. I'm sure Jaden Springer is hoping to do better than this. He is number 28 in the mock draft from ESPN. We've seen a range of, what, 12 to 28 probably then for Springer, somewhere in that range.
Yep.
Remember, and this is a mock draft, not a ranking of Springer, but this has him mocked at number 28, so just inside the first round. So that's something that Springer, I'm sure, will hope to improve on if that's how some teams do view him. But again, a wider range for Johnson. I think it's probably what you mentioned, six to eight or nine, mm-hmm. Is where we've seen him. For Springer, it would be the low teens to, this would be the latest that I've seen him recently at 28.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And going through those mocks that I pulled up, it's really weird that ESPN has Keon. This is the highest that they have him going, or that any NBA mock that I saw had him going, versus having Springer the absolute lowest. I mean, the lowest before for Springer was Yahoo at 23. So a wide range, as you've seen him go from around 12 or 13 all the way up to 28. NBADraft.net had him going 19th overall, so a top 20 pick. But yeah, it's kind of wild how ESPN really high on Keon, having him in the number six spot, and the lowest out of all the ones that I perused earlier today, with Springer at 28.
So we'll continue to be monitoring that. Long way to go. We have to get to the NFL draft before we get to the NBA draft. So the draft process is just beginning for those guys. But still, I think a great chance that both players are first-round picks. Keon Johnson, a great chance to be a top 10 pick in the NBA draft. And the NFL draft is 3 weeks from today starting up. So we're getting closer there. We will come back and we'll see what Jesse Smithy thinks about what to pay attention to with the Masters, how the scoring could be different than what we saw in the fall, as we don't typically see the Masters in the fall. Maybe that helped the scoring, might make it more challenging this upcoming weekend. Jesse Smithy, who you also know from 5starpreps.com, coming up next right here on Sports 180 as we hit a midday sports minute on 99.1, the Sports Animal. This is Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. Welcome back in. As we come back, we're pleased to welcome to the show Jesse Smithy, who you know from 5starpreps.com, and also someone whose golf opinion we very much respect and appreciate, especially this week, Augusta National Week. What is this week like, Jesse? Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. What is this week like, especially now that it's back to springtime golf, getting back to normal there at Augusta?
It's exciting for everybody in the golf world, and even for people that don't follow the sport regularly. This is their first event, usually checking in the year to really make them feel like springtime, and for them to watch the stars of the sport compete on one of the brightest stages in golf. So it's an event that's near and dear to my heart. Obviously, I think anybody who knows me knows that, but really in the golfing world, it's hard to top the Masters.
Yeah, Jesse, first off, totally jealous. So enjoy your week down there. I know you will.
I'm not down there this week, unfortunately. I'm still up in Knoxville this week.
Okay.
I'm following along just like you guys are.
Okay. Okay. Well, that makes me feel better. Now
you don't have to be jealous. That works.
Hostility. Hold on. Yeah. Let me shrug all this hostility off. I thought you were down there eating pimento cheese sandwiches. Jesse, how strong do you think this field is, especially with so many first-time winners over the past 2 months in the different events leading up early on in this season?
Well, when Tiger Woods is not in the tournament, it takes a step back, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think we can all agree on that. He's the needle mover in golf, and of course, he's still recovering from that car accident from a while back, and so he's been on the mind of a lot of players down there, and they talked about that in the press conferences earlier in the week. So, are they going to set record ratings numbers this week? Probably not. But the fact that the Masters is being held in April again makes it feel a little bit like it's getting back to some normalcy in the sport. But it's still a strong field, and especially with Dustin Johnson, the number one player in the world, having won the 2020 Masters back in November, and Brooks Koepka, even though he had surgery just a couple of weeks ago on his knee, somehow is teeing it up this week, and I think he's either even par or maybe one over, and so trying to win on one leg, basically like Tiger did in the 2008 U.S. Open, and Jordan Spieth has found form again, and that's one of the bigger storylines in golf over the last 3 or 4 months. Here was a guy that in the mid-2010s was the next big star, and he won a Masters, and he won multiple majors, and really over the last 3 to 4 years has struggled to keep that same form that made him a star. He changed a few things in his swing, and then next thing you know, he's dropping in the world rankings big time. And to see him win last week, I think got a lot of people more engaged in him again and rooting for him again. And we all know his track record at Augusta. Even though he's only won there once, it feels like he's won there 3 or 4 times. And so he'll tee off later on this afternoon around 2 o'clock, and a lot of eyes will be on him this week. So the field is not the strongest field I've seen, but especially since Tiger's not there and Rory McIlroy is out of sorts, but it's still the Masters, and there's still going to be some unbelievable performances.
We're talking to Jesse Smith, the 5starpreps.com, talking about the Masters now underway in the middle of the first round, several still to tee off as the afternoon goes along. What do you think the scoring will look like? I don't think anybody's expecting 20 under here this weekend, but what do you think, and how much more challenging will it be this weekend than we saw 5 months ago?
Right. I mean, what happened in November was an anomaly, right? I mean, to see Dustin Johnson go set a scoring record at 20 under par, the course is just more susceptible in November than it typically is in the spring. And I think the Augusta National membership and the tournament committee probably took a little offense to that. And from all reports that I've seen, they're really going to trick out the greens this week. And the prevailing storyline in golf right now is trying to find a way to not see courses relegated just defenseless by this distance game that's happened over the last decade or so because of equipment and player strength. And we got Bryson DeChambeau hitting 400-yard drives, and nobody wants to see these courses that are so highly regarded and just be brought to their knees because of technology and what's happening with athleticism. And Bryson DeChambeau has taken his body from what used to look like a defensive back or a slot receiver, and now he looks like a linebacker, and he's maxed out his swing speeds and his velocity, and he got to give the guy credit for what could have ruined his career. I mean, he could have really hurt himself and trying to radically change the sport and how it's played, and he's won a major championship now, and I think all eyes were on him back in November to see if he could bring Augusta to its knees, and he didn't do so, but I think he said back then he wasn't feeling good, and so we're going to give him the benefit of the doubt and see what he does this week. And so he'll tee off at about 135, and so Augusta National has really baked out his greens, made them hard and fast, and so that if he does happen to hit 350, 400-yard drives, he's going to have just an unbelievably deft touch around the greens to get those scoring looks that he needs. So that's the big storyline this week, is what Augusta National has done to its greens to try to combat Bryson DeChambeau and Tony Finau and all these guys who are prodigious drivers of the golf ball, to try to keep them in check a little bit.
So is this, in your opinion, and there is rain in the forecast for tomorrow, which could negate what, you know, what they've tried to do with the firmness of the course. Is this a Masters where a top 10 world golf ranking player is going to win, like where one of the top dogs is going to win? Or is this a Masters where somebody that maybe is under the radar a little bit can really hoist themselves to the top?
Hard to say, Heather. Oftentimes you're going to see the cream of the crop in this event come to the top of the leaderboard, and right now it has an international flair to it early in this first round. I think five or six different countries represented in the top five or six spots in the leaderboard, and guys like Hideki Matsuyama and Siwoo Kim and I can't even pronounce this guy's name from South Africa. It's got a lot of Z's and stuff in it, and so it's just you got guys who have been around and have been on leaderboards, but maybe haven't showed what they can in the major championship realm. But right now, we're seeing them do that in the early part of the first round. But I think once we get a better sample size of how they're handling the course set up for the week over the next day or two, I think I could probably better answer that question. But it's going to be the Masters. It's going to be exciting on Sunday afternoon, and I'm here for it.
Yeah, I think I was just looking for a little bit of validation, even though I'm on the cusp. I think Patrick Cantlay has worked his way into the top 10 in the world golf rankings, but I picked him yesterday, so I was looking for you to give me a little hope.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in so many Masters pick challenges and pools, I can't even keep my pick straight and who I'm rooting for. I'm just, again, I'm glad the tournament's going on, and I'm glad I'm getting to watch it. I'm getting nothing done work-wise right now, and I've got it on my TV. I got it on my laptop. I got it on my phone. And so we're drinking it all in right now. I like Patrick Cantlay. I mean, he's a cold-blooded assassin out on the course. He has that type of mentality, and he's done everything in his career, and this is the next big thing for him to achieve. So I like that pick. I'd have no problem with Patrick Cantlay being the Master champion.
Jesse Smithy with us. Jesse, how many Bryson DeChambeau fans do you know? People who love Bryson.
I can count them on my hand, and I can tell you I won't use all my fingers. How about that?
Yeah, there you go. That's what I thought.
It's not many. He's such a... He's such a lightning rod type of personality that people want to see what he does, but he's not that charismatic guy that's going to excite the nation and have the casual golf fans tuning in and falling in love with his charm on the course like you would see a Tiger Woods or Jordan Spieth. He's not one of the more well-liked players on tour. He gets caught with hot mics quite a bit, critiquing courses and just whatever. So the light doesn't shine on him in a very favorable way. But again, what he's done from a analytics standpoint, from a physics standpoint, what he's done to his body, it's captivating because you're seeing the game of golf change right before your eyes, much like we saw Tiger Woods do in the mid-1990s when he came in and just with his length and just the way that he attacked courses and overpowered them, we're seeing people try to Bryson proof their golf course. And so that's what's captivating about him. It's not so much of how he is as a person in the public eye.
Well, Jesse, before we let you go, I know you're also busy with everything going on the high school scene, fivestarpreps.com. What can people find? What's going on and what's coming up there in the prep sports world?
Well, we got spring football that's going to be starting here in a couple of weeks, and so we got a schedule up on the site right now for our members to let them know when teams are starting and how long they're going to go. And, of course, we've been writing football all winter and all early spring about just new quarterbacks and some of the prospects in the area who are taking their games to the next level. So we'll have a few more of those articles here in the coming days, and I'm working on a really big story right now that I've kind of teased on Eric Ames' show earlier today. I can't give out too many more details about it right now, but that's one of the things I'm trying to work on during this Masters broadcast, and I'm finding it very difficult to do that. So I'm going to have to turn the TV off and put the phone away, really crank out this story. It's It's not so much of a breaking news story that's going to rattle the sports landscape, but it's something that I think people are going to find extremely interesting and something to kind of keep an eye on.
Oh, that sounds awesome. Hey, one more. And speaking, this is kind of piggybacks on you talking about distractions. I took the distraction side of the fence. Josh took the emotional boost side of the fence. John Rahm, baby boost. Is it a baby boost or a baby distraction? You're a father of two that plays really good golf. How do you see it?
Well, you flattered me with my golf game. It's not in good form right now. It's right now he's one under. So sometimes when you just come in cold and you're not thinking too much and you just go out and play, sometimes that can be a benefiting factor. So he didn't really get to play the course much this week and have his typical practice round sessions. So he's kind of coming in cold. He's been here before. He knows the course. And he probably hadn't had much sleep or much rest and going on adrenaline. And we'll see how long that will last for him.
Big weekend ahead with the first day of the Masters here. I know you'll be checking in as you continue your work with 5starpreps.com. Go check out the website, 5starpreps.com. Hey, Jesse, thanks for the time as always. Great to have you on the show today.
All right, thanks, guys. Enjoy the Masters this week.
Jesse Smithy right here on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.
Love it. And I'm so glad I don't have to be angry with Jesse because jealousy of him being out on the course. So he's covered that event multiple times, and every single time he goes down to Augusta, man, I not only stalk his Twitter and Instagram feeds, but I live vicariously through them.
No doubt. One other thought, by the way, to back up my baby boost idea,
yeah,
is that, you know, those first couple of nights when, you know, you're getting back into, uh-oh, here's what at least the next few weeks will be like with the middle of the night and the crying and all that stuff. But then Rahm gets away from that, right? So he's probably feeling super refreshed with the sleep that typically is not coming that first week after the baby arrives. So how about that?
Yeah.
He's like at a refreshment level higher than his peers out there on the course.
That's a really good point, and I had not considered that because I live in the real world where it was mom and dad waking up a lot.
Yeah, he exited the real world. Yeah.
he got to exit the real world and go into the
sleep
fantasy
world.
Land. Yeah, that is Augusta and sleep.
Yes. So that's also part of my case. We'll see. John Rahm's one under. We have a couple of players, Matsuyama and Bezuidenhout, at three under, with Siwoo Kim at two under. Same for Webb Simpson. And I mentioned earlier, it looks like it was just a mistake by ESPN's leaderboard. They updated Carlos Ortiz. He didn't just go from minus four to one over. So there was just a mistake there on the website. So I mentioned that earlier. We'll come back. We'll hit the face-off. Five tough questions from Joel Silverberg next on 99.1, the Sports Animal. Back on Sports 180, thanks for being with us. Download the WNML app. Listen on the go anytime. Listen there. Listen on 99.1thesportsanimal.com. Listen on Apple Podcasts on demand as well. You cannot miss the Sports Animal, even if you try. Heather, we're going to hit the face-off coming up in just a moment. We'll have more Masters updates for you. We'll have Tennessee football to talk about this afternoon with an open practice scheduled for Saturday. So a chance for fans to get to Neyland Stadium and see the Tennessee football team under Josh Heupel for the first time. It'll be 2 weeks before the spring game, and that is weather pending. If they are forced indoors, there will not be an open practice for fans to see. But that's coming up Saturday, an open practice scheduled at Neyland Stadium, 10 a.m. with Gate 21, where fans will be able to enter starting at 9:15.
Yeah, really cool that Josh Heupel wanted to do this, and Tennessee was able to put this together for the fans. So fingers crossed that this rain that's going to, you know, kind of hamper the next couple of days, hopefully it gets out of here and everybody can that wants to participate can go and see the team in Neyland Stadium. I just think it's really fun. Anytime you get the opportunity to go inside Neyland Stadium, I always take advantage of it because it's just so special, and it's going to be months until we're in there cheering again. And there's a lot to look forward to. You're going to see some flashes of some playmaking, as that's what they're trying to identify in these practices. Who are our playmakers? So we talked about some of them yesterday. I think it would be a great opportunity for fans to just get to know this team, get to know this coaching staff.
All right, let's hit today's face-off. All righty, Joel, what do you have for us today?
Who should Arizona target to fill their head coaching vacancy?
I'll give you my first answer and then a backup if he says no. John Beilein is who I would call first. If John Beilein wants it, John Beilein has it. He's a free agent coach. He's available. But if he doesn't want to come to the West Coast, if he doesn't want to coach again, then I would actually go with somebody who would be, quote, up and coming, I guess, Tommy Lloyd. He's an assistant at Gonzaga. If Mark Few's not leaving, maybe Tommy Lloyd would leave. And I would call the guy who's been behind the scenes for the last 20 years helping that program be what it is.
How about we go to the Arizona Tree, somebody that played on their championship team, somebody that was an assistant coach at Arizona for five different seasons, now working with the Lakers, Miles Simon. Oh, did I mention he works with the Lakers? He knows LeBron. That's got to be able to help you in some recruiting battles, right? I'm going to go with Miles Simon in this one.
I like it.
Give us a winning score prediction at the Masters this weekend.
So I got out my calculator, Josh. I feel like you'd be so proud of me using that calculator today on
the iPhone.
You're
running spreadsheets here?
Not yet. I haven't graduated to Excel. But with the calculator today, just did an 11-year average. When you look at it, the last several years have been really low scoring. So I'm going to go with 12 under. When you look at it, average it all out, 12 under is about that sweet spot.
I'm going to go a little bit lower. I'm going to say that there's at least one day where things are just are nutty. So I'm going to go 9 under is the winning score at the Masters this weekend.
What should the Atlanta Falcons do with the number 4 pick?
This is assuming he's here. I would draft Justin Fields. There's a lot of talk that he's not going to be a top 3 guy. It looks like number 1 and number 2 are locked in, and there continues to be some Mac Jones buzz. If Fields goes 3, well, then you can't draft him at 4. But I love the idea of Kyle Pitts. I would consider trading back, but I would take Justin Fields.
I think that's a great option. If they're not ready to pull that trigger, though, yet, and draft the quarterback of the future, although Justin Fields would be a good one, man, you trade that bad boy. Denver is looking to trade up. It looks like New England might be in the business of trading up. You've seen teams have to overpay with draft capital, so you could get 2 picks this year and 2 picks next year, but you trade that bad boy.
Happy National Zoo Lovers Day. What is your favorite animal at Zoo Knoxville?
I am partial to the Gibbons. I love the whole Asian trek and that part of the zoo. Shout out to the zoo, too, because they just, they're opening the Ark next week, and they had the Circle of Friends event
last
night.
Very excited here. Yeah.
It's going to be amazing. I saw some pictures. Looks wonderful. But I think for me, I am always going to be loving the Gibbons because they're just so exciting to watch go through all those trapezes.
Okay, I'm going to set aside the camel because you know where I stand with camels. They're a gift to us all. The tiger, you know, we stop by, see the tigers there, and Owen gets all fired up. He roars when we see. So I'll go with the tigers just beating out the elephants.
You know, our guy Chuck Culpepper, he's riding a camel in his Twitter avatar.
It looks like
Josh needs to update his.
Yeah, step up your game, Josh. With the goat,
I've got the photos.
Yeah, I know what you do. With the goat trending on Twitter today, who's the first athlete that comes to mind when the goat is mentioned?
This is difficult. We asked it on social media, and we've gotten a bunch of different answers, which I think backs up that it's difficult. Here's going to be my answer. I'm going to say Wayne Gretzky. He's the great one, so the greatest of all time one, you could argue. I think Michael Phelps is a tremendous choice. I'm going to go with Wayne Gretzky. He comes to mind for me.
Yeah, I think those are great choices. Hockey's just so far in the back of my mind. I didn't even think of Wayne Gretzky, so I like that difference between both of us. I think it's Tiger Woods for me, and I don't know if it's because I just love him so much and have loved him for the majority of my life and watching him dominate the game of golf. I know he's not the greatest player right now. His career is most likely over. But I still, when you talk about the GOAT, it was always Tiger wearing red on Sundays.
All right, Josh gets the win.
He went with hockey. You don't think Wayne Gretzky's the GOAT. You just wanted to win the faceoff with the hockey guy deciding who the winner is.
The Tiger pushed him over the edge, too.
Oh, okay. You do get a little blast.
Yeah, I went
AC.
With the right Tiger in this one. We both had Tiger answers. Yeah, I really do. Like, to me, if you're taking team sports, I actually thought you were going to go Brady, by the way. Mm-hmm. But Gretzky is the one where I think you have the easiest argument to say he is the GOAT in his sport. And you'll have a few Gordie Howe responses here. But with Tom
Kevin
Brady,
Frazier.
You're going to hear... That's right.
Yep.
You're going to hear Joe Montana. You're going to hear Peyton. You might hear like Jerry Rice brought up. And then basketball. obviously Jordan's going to be the most popular answer, I think. But then you're going to hear LeBron. You're going to hear Russell. You're going to hear – with hockey, I think you have the strongest argument. So that, and then it's more individual sport, but – who's touching Phelps? So you go Olympic sport, Phelps would come to mind for me there. So it's a fun conversation, the GOAT trending today. That is, and that was specific to sports. We get to acting, we get to music, then we can have another conversation too. That is today's face-off. It's presented by Marble City Family Chiropractic.
Yes, if you're ready to get rid of aches and pains in a natural way, call Marble City Chiropractic. Set up a one-on-one consultation. It's really simple. 766-2081. They're going to do a comprehensive health survey, figure out what's going on with you. They're going to take x-rays and come up with a tailored to you plan to get rid of those misalignments in your spine that are causing all of that pain. Call Dr. Jason and Alicia Bloom at Marble City today. 766-2081 at Marble City Chiropractic.
We have 2 hours of Sports 180 remaining. 656-9900 if you would like to join us. John Wilkerson will join us in 30 minutes as we continue on 99.1, the Sports Animal.